Be seated, please.
How thrilling it is to be able to enter the house of God today. Amen? David said, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we can truthfully say today, it really is a wonderful blessing to be able to join our voices together in sweet hymns of praise unto our Father who is in heaven. And we're so grateful that all of you have come this morning, and we hope that if you're visiting with us, then this service will be conducive to your spirituality and that you'll want to come again and be with us at your earliest convenience. How many of you have problems with your memory? Anyone? Someone said, just a line to say I'm living, that I'm not among the dead, though I'm getting more forgetful and so mixed up in the head. I got used to my arthritis, to my dentures I'm resigned. I can manage my bifocals, but, oh Lord, I miss my mind. For sometimes I can't remember when I stand at the door of the stairs, if I must go up for something or I just came down from there. And before the fridge so often, my poor mind is filled with doubt. Have I just put food away, or am I here to take something out? And there's times when it is darkened, with my nightcap on my head. I don't know if I'm retiring or just getting out of bed. So if it's my turn to write you, there's no need for getting sore. I may think that I have written and don't want to be a bore. So remember that I love you, and I wish that you were near. Now it's time to post this letter, so I must say goodbye, my dear. And here I stand beside the mailbox with a face so very red. Instead of mailing you my letter, I opened it instead. I don't know about you, but there are times when I have trouble with my memory. I have learned, however, that there are some times and some things you must never, ever forget. That is your anniversary and your wife's birthday. Let me ask you a question this morning. And it's a question that all of us ought to ask. Will I choose to remember, or will I choose to forget? You know, a lot of people have what we call selective memory. There's some things that they just simply want to put out of their mind, and there are some things that they want to retain in their mental faculties. Maybe you're guilty of doing that. Do you know that worlds are torn apart by those who have difficulty remembering? Alzheimer's is a very serious, serious thing. And we all probably have known of people through the years who have experienced Alzheimer's. President Ronald Reagan, no doubt in the later years of his life, experienced this debilitating disease that we call Alzheimer's. Glenn Campbell, once on top in the country music field, disclosed a few months ago that he was suffering from Alzheimer's and just completed his farewell tour. It is a very sad thing when we think about those who have experienced memory loss. But there are some things we just do not compute in our mind. There are some things that do not register. The human mind is very complicated. Someone said that the human mind is such a precious thing, don't waste it. And so in order to keep from wasting it, sometimes we do a lot of things. Some things, sometimes we hear people say, now don't forget this. And so we make mental notes. We put strings around our fingers. We have constant reminders, and we still have a tendency to forget. We would all like to have the memory of an elephant. Elephants rarely forget. Someone said rarely do they forgive either. Do you know God teaches us that there are some things that you and I ought to remember? Have you ever made just a casual perusal of the Word of God to find out how often in the Bible the Word of God says that you and I are to remember? We are to remember God. Romans chapter 1, one of the great sins of the day was the fact that they failed to retain God in their knowledge. They wanted to get God out of their mind, and therefore they could sin and it not bother their conscience or convict them in any way. We are told in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come, that thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. We are to remember the Word of God. And when it is taught, sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other, but we ought to remember it. We ought to teach it to our children, as the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, that we are to bind it upon their forehead, that we are to teach them when we rise up in the morning and when we walk with them in the way and when we lie down with them at night. Moses said, make sure that they are like frontlets on your eyes. We are to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. You will see, engrafted on this table is the statement, do this in remembrance of me. You and I have just participated in one of the most solemn acts of worship that anyone can engage. That is the observance of the Lord's Supper. And we do that because Jesus said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And when the Apostle Paul would write the Corinthian church in that first epistle, chapter 11, he would say, I received it of the Lord. That when we partake of this bread and when we partake of this body that represents his body, and when we take of this fruit of the vine that represents his blood, we are to do it in remembrance of him. We are to discern it. That is to think about it, ponder it, unless we drink and eat damnation to our own soul. But remember it. We're to remember all of our blessings. David prayed a moment ago that God has blessed us. He has. Blake prayed about it a moment ago. Almost in every prayer, we thank God for his blessings, and they are so many. We're to remember that's where they came from God. Ephesians chapter 1, for all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we are to remember the judgment. We need to remember that it is coming. Christ said it for a purpose. There are some things, and there are many, many, many of them in the Word of God, and that we are challenged to remember, but sometimes we have a tendency to forget. Have you ever just been around people sometimes, like I said, that just kind of in their own way legitimately forget? And there are some people that are just dense. There were three elderly men one time who went to the doctor's office for a memory test. Maybe you've been there. The doctor asked the first man, he said, what is 3 times 3? His reply was 274. The doctor rolled his eyes and looked up at the ceiling and says to the second man, it's your turn. He said, what is 3 times 3? And the second man replied, Tuesday. The doctor shakes his head sadly and then asks the third man. He said, okay, it's your turn. What is 3 times 3? And the third man said, 9. And the doctor said, that's great. He said, how did you get that? He said, it's simple. He said, you just subtract 274 from Tuesday. Now, there's some people in the world who are just extremely, extremely dense. But God says that when you have the ability to remember, that you are to remember. There are some things that you hold on to. But do you know that the Bible actually says that there are 5 things that must be forgotten? Let me share with you this morning that there are five things. If you look in the book of Philippians 1, verse 3 through 5, Paul says, I thank God in all of my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer, he says, with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And then in verse 13 and 14 of that same text, Paul says, Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. There are five things that we must forget if we are going to be spiritually minded. And that's what we must be as God's people. God asks us to be spiritually minded. Let me begin. First of all, I would tell you that we are to forget our setbacks. Every one of us this morning could truthfully say that there have been times when we have had setbacks in life. Someone said that a setback is a setup for a comeback. I'm telling you this morning that God wants us to come back from setbacks. God doesn't want us to dwell on the past, and many of us do. We always talk about the good old days. We talk about the way things were back then. But I'm telling you, the future is as bright as the promises of Almighty God. And we must remember that. We are prone to brood over our losses, especially financial and material losses. We do. Jesus taught that the only loss that you and I ought to really truly be concerned about is the loss of the soul. Jesus taught that in the book of Matthew 16. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He said in Matthew 16, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, and take up the cross and follow me. For whosoever, listen to it, desires to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake, he says, will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Have you ever thought about it? What would you exchange for your soul? Is there anything within your grasp or anything in your possession this morning that you would, listen, that you would want to hold on so badly that you would be willing to forfeit your soul and your salvation? I hope not. Setbacks are a number of things. Losing friends. Losing your health, terrible setback. Losing your job, many are unemployed today. More unemployment today in the history of this nation than we have experienced in years. The loss of property, the loss of your position, they're all big losses. But minor inconveniences compared to the excellency of gaining Christ our Lord. For in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 through 11, again, Paul says, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And I count them, he says, but rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being comforted to his death. And if by any means that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So if you've experienced a setback, let me just remind you, forget it. Many years ago, back during the Civil War, there was a lady here in the South who prided herself in her yard. And she had those long, beautiful oaks that led up to her plantation house. And during a very fierce battle with the Union Army, the Union officers came to that plantation and marred one of her beautiful oak trees with their guns. General Lee, who often visited this plantation, came one day. And the lady asked General Lee, she said, "General Lee," and she told him what had happened. And she looked at him in amazement and said, "What would you do? They have destroyed my tree. What would you do?" And he looked at her and he said, "Dear madam, cut it down and forget it." You know, there are some things in life that you and I just have to cut down and forget. Forget your setbacks. But there's another thing. We need to forget our slights. How many of you feel that you've ever been slighted in life? Anybody? Maybe someone got the job over you, someone got a raise and you didn't. Maybe they voted for someone else and didn't vote for you. And maybe somebody wanted to be friends with someone else and chose not to experience your friendship. There are some times in life we have all feel that we have experienced slight. There was a lonely frog one time who was desperate for any form of company. He telephoned the psychic hotline to find out what his future had in store. His personal psychic advisor advised him, this frog, that you're going to meet a beautiful young girl who will want to know everything about you. The frog was truly exhilarated and thrilled. He said, "This is great." He said, "Will I meet her at work or at a party?" To which the psychic said, "No, it will be in biology class." There are times when we feel that perhaps people have given us the slight. But we must never, ever dwell on the injustices of life and the injuries that are inflicted upon you and I. For harboring hatred and resentment poisons a person's perspective on life. It does. There are some people who have experienced so many slights in their life that they just go through life. And they're extremely judgmental of everybody else. And they, again, it's woe is me, woe is me. Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27. The Bible says, Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. There is no room for bitterness in your heart. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath and do not give place to the devil. Why? Because wrath is of the devil. Anger and resentment and hostility is of the devil, folks. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 again says, we're to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Paul says, get rid of it, cut it down, forget it. With all malice. And be kind one to another. What a contrast. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forget your slights. But then thirdly, forget your successes. You know, everybody, I don't care who they are, have experienced a measure of success in something in life. You either a good cook, a good housewife, you're a good bookkeeper, you're a great doctor, whatever. You have experienced success in your life. But do you realize how many good people have been ruined by their success? They let it go to their head. Saul of Gibeah in the Old Testament was a nobleman. Saul was a great man. Saul was the first king of Israel. And he reigned for 40 years. But then it went to his head. And his triumph turned into tragedy. And he fell at his own sword. For in the book of 1 Samuel 13, verse 6 and following, the Bible says, "And Samuel said unto Saul," Samuel being that last judge of Israel, "he said, 'You have done foolishly, for you have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you.'" And he says, listen to it, "For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But your kingdom shall not continue. For the Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be the commander over his people, because you have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, or those that I have commanded you." Sometimes people allow their success to go to their head, and they become a little heady, a little high-minded. And Paul would write to the young minister Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not heady nor high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches." You know why they're uncertain? You may have them today, but they could be gone by nightfall. You may have them now, but they may be gone by tomorrow. And you would be reduced again to a level of poverty. And if that doesn't humble you folks, I don't know what would. In Romans chapter 12, the Bible says, "For I say, though the grace given unto me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt with each of us according to the measure of faith." I want you to notice, Paul didn't say it was wrong to think highly of yourself. It's all right to take a little pride in yourself. I mean, if you didn't take pride in yourself, you wouldn't get up in the morning and brush your hair and brush your teeth and clean your body and put your deodorant on. And Lord help you if you didn't do that today. But he said it's wrong for a man to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Successes. Let us remember that without the mercy of God, we could do nothing, have nothing, and be nothing. But then fourthly, we need to forget our sorrows. You know, we've all experienced sorrows in life. The Bible says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." We must not allow the sorrows of this life to imprison us again in the past. Forget them. As one old preacher used to say, he said, we must look for life's pearls, and we should. Romans 8 and 18 says, Paul speaking, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that God shall reveal in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Through 5, "Blessed be the God and our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation." Why? Now think about this a minute. The sorrows of life, why do they come? God comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. We need to forget our own sorrows and focus on the sorrows of other people, folks. Our sorrows become minimal when we think about what others have to go through in life. But then last of all, we're to forget our sins. Forget our sins. Now, doesn't the Bible tell us that we are to remember our sins? Sure you are. You are to acknowledge your sin. David said, my sin is ever before me. Psalms chapter 51. And if you were to read in Psalms 32, he would say, blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose iniquity is covered. And if your sin has been forgiven, forget it. God does forgive and he does forget. But we must never ever allow our sins to defeat us. And your sin can defeat you if you don't repent of it and get right with God. With God's help, we can put them behind us. Because Acts 2:38 says, if we repent and we are baptized for the remission of our sin, God removes them, takes it away. It's all over. It's a moot issue. And sin can be cleansed from our life. Isaiah said, though your sin be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. The blood of Christ is more powerful than any sin. Jesus shed his blood for our sin. He said, this is the, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, this is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for the remission of sin. And in Hebrews 9:22, the writer would offer these words. He would say that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But your sin can be remitted. Your sin can be forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. For in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here's the way you do it. Looking unto Jesus, he says, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. May God grant us both the wisdom to know what needs to be forgotten and the will to forget them. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are there things you need to put behind you? Are there? Setbacks? Slights? Sorrows? Your sin? When we turn from those things that cause us as well as God grief and heartache, the Lord truly does forgive and he forgets. For in Jeremiah 31 and 31, the prophet said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember against them no more. And in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. You want to receive forgiveness of your sin? You turn to God, folks. You want America to be a better place in which to reside and live? And bring your children and grandchildren into this world. Go back to God. What about your setbacks? Your slights? Your successes? Your sorrows? And your sin? Will you turn from your sin and seek the face of God this morning and allow this day, June the 24th, 2012, to become your day of salvation? It can be. It can be. Jesus gave what we call the Great Commission. Yes, challenging us to remember certain things. But he challenged us to forget some. And in Mark the 16th chapter, verse 15 and 16, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. And oddly enough in the Bible, all souls must obey God in the same way as they did in the Holy Scriptures. And you can experience that same salvation that they experienced then. But I'm telling you, folks, until you're willing to forget certain things that keep you from God, you can't become a Christian. I know that to be true. Because Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 and 2 says, the arm of the Lord is not so short that he cannot reach you, and his ear is not so heavy that he cannot hear you. But your sin and your iniquity have separated you from God. There may be sin right now, setbacks, sorrows, slights. Sins that are separating you from God. Are you willing to remove those? Willing to get them out of the way? That you can come to God this morning, repenting and confessing the sweet and honorable name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and being baptized for the remission of your transgression, your sin. And then remember Christ. Remember to live for him all the days of your life. We invite you to do that this morning as we sing this great hymn of exhortation and invitation. Let us stand and let us sing.